Good morning, everyone. My name is Craig, and it's a joy for me to be on staff here at Riverside and to see you all this morning and to share with you. And so welcome, especially if it's your first time, and to everyone online. We are just grateful that you can join us and be a part of us this morning. It feels strange being a bit more awake on a Sunday morning and have slightly more regulated blood pressure. And I don't know about you guys, I didn't quite know what to do with myself over the last few days, but it's nice to have kind of decompressed a little bit and feel a bit more normal, but now the cricket's heating up and it's like we're a little bit more prepared for the tension that's coming, but I'm excited. It's just great to see our country just so excited about everything that's happened. And we started a new series last week, and a really exciting series called Dangerous Prayers. But I wonder if you are one of those people who, as soon as you see the word prayers, kind of something gets a little a bit more anxious inside your heart as you go, oh no, praying. And I wonder how many of you, just honest, and you don't have to put up your hands, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but like Fear Factor Christian Edition. Praying out loud on stage in front of people, right? That just will send you running. Not loud, let alone on stage, just praying out loud. It's just this idea of praying just kind of freaks you out. You know, this like prayer inferiority complex that we have as Christians. You know, well, I'm never going to pray like that person. I'm not even going to try pray like them. You know, I know for myself as a young Christian, I realized quite quickly one of the biggest ways I can get church leaders to notice me is showing up at prayer meetings. That's how I get into the inner circle, right? Is showing up and maybe even trying to pray. And I remember like trying to do that, but then so guilty because, you know, it's an hour-long prayer meeting, but for 55 minutes I've been thinking about rugby and food. It's like no praying. It's just my mind's in a million other places and not at the prayer meeting. You know, and it's just one of these things, because I also remember the first time somebody responded with a when I prayed. It's like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's like there was this little like jolt of like, I'm praying right because somebody said amen to something I prayed. And it's just this thing about praying that just, it's this weird thing with us as believers that we put so much pressure on public praying or how I pray, and I pray for response, and are people going to like amen what I'm going to say? And you know, that person even prays scripture when they, and it's like super prayers, and it's just all of the stuff that we add to it. And as a result, I think we rob ourselves of some of the power that comes with engaging with our Father. You know, and we think, and we pray safe prayers. God, help me find a parking spot. You know, it's like, God, bless my food, but I've seen some of your cooking, and that actually, you know, I thought, but that's not the, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But we behave in a way that when we engage with the Father, we like, it's safe, and we think about other people while we're doing it, and we have such inferiority complex with this. But as we've seen with some prayers in Scripture, and while there's nothing wrong to ask God to help you for a parking spot, and to have a good day. But some prayers, they're going to shift us. And they're going to shift us quite far. And praying these prayers, and this is why the series is Dangerous Prayers, and I'm grateful for, there's a church in the States called Life Church, and they make their resources available, and they've really helped us with putting this, kind of the thoughts behind the series together. But some prayers are dangerous. And we call them dangerous because when you engage with them, you aren't going to be the same if this becomes a serious thing that you pray and trust the Lord for. And so if you missed part one, it's on our social media platforms, on our YouTube channel. You can catch that up. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 4 and 5 today. And so if you have a Bible of any form, get there, because not a lot of the text is going to be up on the screen, but we're going to be hanging out in Acts 4 and 5 today as we get into our second dangerous prayer, and this one is going to really, really shift us. And so some context to this prayer that the believers prayed that we're going to look at today is Acts chapter 4. What's happened is Jesus has kind of lived his life He's got his disciples. He was arrested. He's been crucified. He's risen again, and he's ascended to the Father. The Holy Spirit has come, and his disciples are now leading the church, and a lot of stuff is happening in Jerusalem. A lot of excitement is happening, and the disciples, particularly Peter and John, they've healed someone, and it's caused a whole lot of fuss with the religious leaders. And so here we pick up in chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John because it was evening. They put them into jail the next day. But many who heard the message believed. And so the number of men and women who believed grew to be about 5,000. So now there's a little bit of a pattern. We know this is similar to what happened with Jesus. These religious leaders arrested him and then put him in jail, then trialed him the next day before he was crucified. So a bit of a similar MO here. They've got them. They've put them in jail. And so verse 5, the next day, the rulers, the elders, the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. And as the high priest was there, so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others from the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Now, I want you to try and feel kind of what's going on here with these two guys. Right, Jerusalem's abuzz. So much has been happening. God's power has been on full display. But the people who have arrested them and put them in jail, the same people who arrested, publicly beat Jesus and crucified him. These are the same guys, the same MO. They're in jail, and now they're being brought before all of these guys. The heavyweights have been listed in the passage. Right, they're in front of, at least as far as Jerusalem society and legal stuff goes, they're in front of the big shots. Now, I've done some dumb stuff in my life. And on one occasion, it's a true story. I won't tell you everything. You might need to just come and grab me afterwards if you want the finer details. But it was about 10:30 at night. My mom gets a call from the chairman of our church's elder board and says, you need to come to church immediately. Craig needs to see us. I'm in high school and my mom says, Craig, what have you done? So I tell her a few things. There were some police involved. And I walk into a room alone, and in a half circle are all the pastors and elders of the church. My mom's like, Craig, and she like kind of like looks at me and walks out. And I'm now sitting in front of all of these guys. And I remember like I know I've messed up here. And they asked me this question, Craig, can you tell us what happened? And so I can feel in some way what these guys are feeling, right? This is everyone who matters that can determine their fate. They've already spent a night in jail. The ante is up. They know this matters. And I love the response of Peter. And it goes in verse 8, right? Because he could back out. He could go, listen, it was a big mistake. Like, I'm sorry for causing a fuss. Right, Peter's got a bit of a track record when the heat is on him to kind of bail out. But verse 8 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel. He is making it very, very clear his position on what has happened. It was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Now, when it mentions the Pharisees, the Sadducees, part of the leaders of Jerusalem, don't believe in a physical resurrection from the dead. That's a distinct thing about who they are and what they believe. And they're present in the room questioning them. And he's very clear as to what they believe in and what happened. Jesus is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. What a response in the face of that opposition. These two guys are alone against a room full of the judge and the jury after a night in jail. They know that these guys crucified Jesus for what he was saying. They have to give an account of what happened, and they don't hold back from the truth. This vulnerable situation, this precious situation that they are in, and they just give a full account of their conviction and their truth. Now, verse 13, and this is just so amazing. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Our Bibles are very kind with the word ordinary men. So that word is the same word that can be used for the word idiot. And so they are very generous to the disciples when they call them, in our English Bibles, ordinary, because what they're actually saying is these guys are idiots. They look at them and go, they're unschooled, so they dropped out. They didn't cut it at school because they were fishermen. They went back to do a trade. They couldn't cut it at school. Not smart. In fact, these rulers call them idiots, but are astonished because of their courage. And they go, they must have been with Jesus. And so what we start to see here with this dangerous prayer is that these guys, there's something going on, and it's boldness. And one of the first things I want to point out is we're going to look at how they prayed for boldness. And what we start to see is boldness isn't a personality trait. You know, we might get confused and think that's like extroverted personality traits or being loud. None of those things are boldness or being bold or having courage, because these guys are in a hectic situation. Scripture tells them that they're unschooled and ordinary people, and the boldness that they displayed and the courage that they showed in that situation was the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It had nothing to do with their personality. It had nothing to do with just being used to being like rah-rah in all-boys school where you could, you know, be loud in a room, or, you know, you're just used to being on stage and so you're comfortable being in crowds. That's got nothing to do with it. This is just something empowered by the Holy Spirit. I remember a number of years ago, and forgive me if you've heard the story before, I used to do a number of mission trips into Mozambique, and we had a bit of a formula in how we did ministry. There were a number of us guys with our translators, and we formed a soccer team. And what we would do is we would arrive at the schools. We had someone who had helped set up this as best as possible, but it was very rural Mozambique, so comms weren't always so easy. We weren't always sure what would happen, but we would arrive, we'd be the soccer team, and then school, all things would stop in the area because the South African soccer team was coming, and it was always a big deal. They would pull a soccer team out from somewhere. These guys would arrive. A ref would appear. Sometimes it took an hour, hour and a half, but we would play these soccer games, but everybody would be around, would come and watch. And because then we had a crowd, we played the soccer game, we'd then have a bit of a sound system through our translators. We'd then share our testimonies. We'd preach a bit and offer to pray for people. A very effective ministry strategy. But in this occasion, there wasn't a proper field. And there were thousands of people that came out for this game. And we would usually play like a high school team, but these guys, this was like a proper adult. These guys were massive, really good. And the field on this occasion became the people. And so we were surrounded by five or six people deep around this whole soccer field. And so you can imagine the hostilities in this game, because if one of us got close to the outline, or if the ball got close to the outline, someone would run out or push us or then kick the ball away from us, and everyone would cheer and the ref would ignore it. And so this is the soccer game that we're in on this particular day. And then as soon as the ref blew the final whistle, the whole crowd that was around us just mobbed us and locked us in. And we could not move. And we were hemmed in, pressed in against all of these people, and I say a good few thousand that we are surrounded by. Now, we decide, let's just carry on doing what the plan is. And we start to speak and share our stories with the people that are here. But our translators are going into a full-blown panic. And they're telling us, like, literally saying to us, like, shut up, stop talking, don't say anything. Because one of the guys that were with us, that was right next to me, he's actually probably preaching this morning as well, because he's at a church in East London, has been grabbed by the neck, and a guy's got his fist out, and he's going, if you say another word about Jesus, I'm going to beat you. And this crowd is getting worked up, and they're shouting at us, and they're screaming at us, and telling us to stop talking, and we can't go anywhere, because we're literally like stuck in a press of people that we can't move, or people are shouting and shouting and shouting. And our translator is like begging us to be quiet, and like, just be quiet, be quiet. But we just carry on, and obviously I'm standing here, so I got out of that situation. But now people are starting to shout at these other people that are telling us to keep quiet, because they're going, we want to hear what they're saying. We actually want to hear, are they offering prayer? We want prayer. And so while these people are shouting and telling us to stop, more people are kind of like swimming through the crowd and like, can you pray for me? Another guy's like, I actually want to hear more about Jesus. And eventually, like, this whole kind of tide turns and people come to faith in Jesus. People are miraculously healed. We kind of get out of the press. People are like shattered. Their nerves are finished because they can't get to us. They can hear everything that's going on. And later that night, while we're having dinner in the village, people are like trying to find out what happened and how it went. And all we could say was like, we don't know how we got through that. But Jesus made us bold. It's like, how did you keep on speaking? We're like, we don't quite know how we carried on speaking. We don't quite know how that all happened. But God got us through that. And we see this in Acts 4:21. After further threats, they let them go, but they could not decide how to punish them because the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. And then they get back together and the believers gather, and here's the dangerous prayer. Considering all that had happened, all the threats, being jailed, warned not to do this, but God is working. This is what they pray. Remember, they could pray anything. But they don't pray for a great parking spot at the temple. They don't pray that the weather's nice for Saturday. This is what they pray. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal. Perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I mean, again, consider everything that's been going on. Consider the fact that they've already been arrested, that they've already had threats against them. The evidence that these guys are serious is the evidence of the crucifixion of Jesus. But they go and they pray, God, make us bold. Yeah, we consider the threats, but enable us to speak with great boldness. Continue to do the work that you've been doing. Stretch out your hand. Perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is the dangerous prayer. And now this is why some prayers aren't going to leave us the same if we start to pray them seriously. Because some prayers God really does take seriously and enables action through them. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place that they were meeting in was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So what happens here is they consider the threats. They don't shy away. They pray, God, make us bold. And remember, boldness isn't a personality trait. It's something that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And it's proven true there because the Holy Spirit comes. There's evidence of the Holy Spirit being present by the description of the meeting place was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what is the description afterwards? They spoke the word of God boldly. And so this is why this is a dangerous prayer. Because we can't pray this prayer, God, make us bold. Use us in powerful ways for your kingdom and then kind of stay home where it's comfortable. Praying this prayer is not going to allow us to be passive in his kingdom. Because it's not about your personality that you're this extrovert that can go out and you're not scared to talk to people. The empowering presence of God in our lives to make us bold to declare truth for his kingdom will lead us to action. We can't hide when we're praying this prayer. We cannot remain passive if we're going to pray, God, make us bold. Because we see the evidence of the Holy Spirit filling them with the power of his presence, and it enables them to action. They went out and spoke boldly. Right, this isn't cushy, safe Jerusalem. This is threats against their lives. People already being put in jail. Precious situation that they're going out and speaking God's word boldly. And so, yeah, we're grateful. It's safe for us to publicly speak about Jesus here today. But understand, in this context, this was hard for them. And they still acted in boldness in spite of. And so I don't know what this is going to look like for you. I don't know what the boldness is going to look like in your space. We can't prescribe what that's going to look like. But if you're going to pray this, if you're going to say, God, fill me with your presence and make me bold, something is going to shift in your life and you're going to act in a bolder way. And it's going to be for the kingdom. So again, I don't know if it's going to be that the Lord is going to enable you to speak to somebody at work for the first time and let them know that you're a follower of Jesus. What boldness might look like for you this week is at the office, you're going to go, hey man, I want to let you know something. I'm actually a follower of Jesus. I live with that hope in my life that my Savior died for me and rose again and is coming back again. I'm a follower of Jesus. That might be your act of boldness this week. Your act of boldness might be leaving your group of friends at varsity or at school at break time and going sitting next to the person that everybody teases, that everybody makes fun of. That might be your act of boldness. And again, this is why I keep going. It's got nothing to do with your personality. And what boldness might look like in one person might be completely different for another. It might be exiting yourself from a toxic conversation. It might be actually putting an end to that conversation at work where you go, actually, guys, this is nonsense, racist speech, and we don't have time for that. Can we please talk about something wholesome? That might be your act of boldness. Your act of boldness might be going to someone that you see looking a little bit downcast and going, hey, can I pray for you? Because for you, that might be the first time that you've actually engaged someone and prayed for someone out loud being in this community. Your boldness could be going to talk to someone who looks different from you that you have never met before and started to move people into relational community by going, hey, we've never met before. Can I introduce you to some people I know? Can I get you a coffee? That could be bold. But if we're going to pray this prayer, it is going to have an impact. But when we look at their lives and we see the result of their prayer of boldness, there are three things that come out from this that I want us to be aware of. And the first thing is this, that if you're going to start to pray for boldness, it is going to trigger spiritual opposition. Okay, praying for boldness is going to trigger spiritual opposition. So in chapter 4, we see that persecution comes, opposition comes to the church, arrested, jailed, threats made against them, but they pray, God, make us bold. They filled with the Spirit, they go out, and they start to carry on speaking about Jesus, proclaiming the truth of Jesus. People are being healed, people are coming to faith in Jesus. And in chapter 5, the leaders have to up their persecution of the religious leaders or of the apostles, and particularly Peter and John. So in verse 15, if you want to head there, or from verse 17, then the high priests and all the associates who were there, members of the ruling party, the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy, right? They're bold, they're carrying on doing the work, they're filled with jealousy. Here's where their opposition starts to come, and their boldness has triggered this spiritual opposition. They arrested the apostles and put them into public jail. Okay, this is, in a week, this is their second arrest. All this is happening, and they start to get more and more oppression, and their boldness just triggers this spiritual opposition. Now again, there's no great formula to the Christian life. And the mistake that gets made is, hey, I've started going to church, I've prayed a prayer, I follow Jesus, but now that sorts out my health for the rest of my life. I'm going to be perfect. I'm going to marry Mr. or Mrs. Wright. My bank balance will always be positive, and everything is going to be perfect in my life. And that is a lie that gets sold to us, because that's not the truth. So the more we step out in boldness, the more this can trigger spiritual opposition in our lives. And this is something that we need to be aware of, that if we're going to pray, God, make me bold, that it might come with some cost to us. Because if we are bold at our workplace and we decide, I'm no longer going to handle money in an unethical way in my business, it could cost you a promotion. It could cost you favor in the company as you make a stand for truth and go, I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't behave like that. And so the opposition could come in the, it could look like being missed for a promotion. Could be no longer invited to the golf games and drinks with the boss after work. It could be that you're no longer in the popular group at varsity or at school because you just don't behave in a certain way anymore. You're going to go, actually, I'm not going to binge drink with you guys on Friday nights and have a good laugh about it anymore, because I actually want to live for Jesus, and I'm actually taking my faith seriously. You no longer get the invites to those things. And Paul reminds us in Ephesians, he says, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and dark powers of this world and spiritual forces that oppose us. And so one of the reality is that the enemy doesn't want people to know the hope that exists in Jesus and the joy and the freedom that comes from living in a relationship with Jesus. And so there is going to be opposition for those of us who step out in boldness and tell people about Jesus and make a public stand for what we believe in. This is something I can speak about all day, but I'm not going to. But we know this to be true in our own family, of how the enemy has tried to rob us of our joy of serving Jesus and to keep us from wanting to take greater risks and be bold for our faith in him. And again, this is just got to let you guys know about this, because this is not where it ends for John and Peter, because John continues to live a bold life for Jesus. And he eventually, they try to kill him by dipping him in boiling oil, and he survives and eventually gets put on an island in exile. And Peter, they eventually have enough of him and they want to crucify him. But Peter says, listen, I'm not going to go the same way as Jesus. Crucify me upside down. And so their life is not this easy, great retirement plan where at 65, they put their feet up and live off of their hard-earned work. It just didn't work itself out like that for them. They faced incredible opposition their whole lives. And that's, church tradition tells us, that's how their lives ended. Thank you, Craig, for this sermon. And the inspiration is so compelling. But we have to understand that the enemy doesn't want us to be bold. The enemy wants us to be quiet and to keep our faith personal, and to not ruffle any feathers and just get through the day with our head down. But the hope of Jesus means that people are living a reality, a Christless reality, an eternity, and people don't know because they never heard. And it's up to us as the followers of Jesus Christ to pray this dangerous prayer for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of those who have never heard, and to pray, God, make me bold. And I know the cost, and it's going to trigger something. And people are not going to be happy when I start to make a stand for Jesus. But it is going to be worth it. And I'll tell you why it's going to be worth it, because the second point is this. When we pray, God, make me bold, it is going to see an increase in miracles. Because these guys are in jail. And some verses in the Bible are bizarre for so many reasons. But they're in jail. They've been put in jail. So verse 19, but during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Now, if you've been tracking with us in the Spirit series, the Unstoppable series, you know how many times the phrase, the angel of the Lord came up. And we know how many times it was possibly Jesus that was referred to as the angel of the Lord. But notice, like in the grammar here, right? There's no, like even exclamation mark. There's no, and you won't believe what happened. This was the craziest thing. Our minds were blown. The angel of the Lord appeared and opened up. There's none of that here, right? This is just one, like almost random in that they're in jail and the angel of the Lord opened up the jail and let them out. As it's like the most normal thing that could happen. And they don't even make a big deal about it, right? The angel just leads them out and tells them to carry on going and doing what they're doing. And they just know, like, did that just happen? Like, let's go home and take stock of this crazy event. It's just normal. Something that Steve pointed out in the Unstoppable series when we were talking about healing and prophecy is one of the things and one of the reasons why we may be not experiencing some of what we hear and have heard other people talk about is because we're not engaging in it ourselves. You know, I was thinking about this, fishing story. It's like the guy was asked, how many fish had he caught? And he said, none. And then asked, well, how many times have you been fishing? And he said, none. And so the maths is always going to work out. Well, you wouldn't have caught fish if you never fished. But the same could be true for the guy who's fished every single day of his life. But in this case, boldness is going to lead to the chances of seeing and having stories of God's miraculous power working in and through you in the lives of people around you because you're increasing the chances for that to happen because you're stepping out in boldness. And so the reason people have stories about people coming to faith is because they, on the front end of that, was they stepped out and shared their story publicly. And they actually told people, I have hope in Jesus. And you can have hope in Jesus too. That act of boldness meant on the other end, there was encouragement or people leaned in or people heard. And there's stories of miraculous healings, but on before the story of miraculous healing, there was somebody who risked and said, can I pray for you? And the reason there was healing was because God chose in that moment to pour out his spirit in power and use those people who trusted him and had faith and going, God, can you have compassion on this person and please heal them? But it was because somebody stepped forward, right? And they were said, I'm going to trust God for you. And we're going to trust that God's going to move in your life. And with greater boldness, we're seeing greater moves of God's Spirit and more chance of these crazy stories that we hear people talking about can be true for you and me. Because remember, aren't these guys ordinary, unschooled people? But seeing such miraculous stuff happening in their lives, why? Because they prayed a dangerous prayer. We understand the threats. Make us bold. Don't stop your healing work, God. In fact, stretch out your hand. Do it more. And we see that miracles were happening, but they were speaking publicly and they were unashamedly praying and trusting for Jesus to do what only he could do in their lives, and people were being miraculously healed. Then the third thing that we learn from praying boldly is that praying boldly is going to require that we live by faith. So verse 20, the angel of the Lord has just opened up all the cells or the doors of the jail, and they get led out by the angel of the Lord. And it says, go and stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people all about this new life. Now remember, this is the second time that they've been jailed. The threats against them are increasing. But they've prayed for boldness. We're seeing the threats against them. We're seeing the increase in just the miraculous work of God in their lives. And now that the jail cells have been opened and the angel tells them to go out and go back to what you were doing. I love this, verse 21. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. This miraculous event, the doors open, jail time number two for the week. How many of us are just going home and trying to catch a breather? How many of us are going, Lord, please, I actually don't feel like being jailed again? Look at their faithful obedience to what they hear the Lord saying. Right? Go and carry on telling people about this new life. And at daybreak, they're back. Right? They're illegally out of jail. They're not hiding. Right? They're not like false identities, try to go get a new passport done and maybe go on to another country to lay low for a little while till maybe this all blows over and they forget about everything that's been happening. No, the faith that they are required to step out of that prison, to follow the angel of the Lord, to hear what he says, go and preach back where you were arrested earlier in the week. And in 100% obedience, they go and they step out and tell people about the new life in Jesus. And I love the faith that they exhibit here. Because without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. But when you pray, God, make me bold, there is going to be a moment after you starting to pray this prayer. I don't know how soon the moment's going to come. I don't know if it's going to be this afternoon. I don't know if it's going to be a Tuesday or Wednesday or Saturday next week or 2 weeks from now. But if you pray, God, make me bold, what's going to come next is you're going to need to take a step of faith that you've never taken before. Because the boldness is going to require you to have a conversation that you maybe have never had before. Praying for someone in a way that you never have prayed before. Actually telling people about the hope that you have in a way that you never have before. And when that moment comes, you're going to be faced with, do I do it or do I not? I realize now that you have presented me with an opportunity, Lord. And this is what I was praying about. And at that moment, you're going to have a real opportunity to exercise faith in a way that you never have. Trusting that this is a moment from the Lord. And that it's his boldness that has given you the opportunity to finally have this conversation or presented with this conversation and the faith that you're going to step out and actually follow through with it. It could be the person in front of you at the bank or in Checkers or Pick and Pay. It could be a hard I don't know what it's going to look like. But it's going to require faith. But knowing that the Lord is in it is hopefully going to have you have the courage to take that step. And so they prayed that prayer, God, make me bold. God, enable us to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. It's three things again, just so you're aware of what you might potentially be in for if you're going to pray this prayer. But this is why this series is called Dangerous Prayers. Because asking God for a good parking spot, it's not going to leave you different. It's not going to shift things in your life. But asking him to fill you with his presence to make you bold, so that you can speak his word, and asking him to stretch out his hand and perform miracles, that is going to leave you different. But as we see in the text, it might trigger spiritual opposition in your life. But it also could see an increase in the miraculous power of God in and through you. And it is definitely going to require you to have faith that you've maybe never had in your life before. So I don't know how you would rate your courage out of 1 to 10. Like, mate, Craig, my courage is like, what's that show, Courage the Cowardly Dog? Like, I'm at a -3. That's my courage score. You're like, well, I'm actually, Craig, I'm pretty comfortable in my faith. I've shared my faith a few times. I know what's at stake. I can be bold. So maybe you're a 7. But because it's not a personality thing, but it's the empowering presence of God, what's the next step for you? What is boldness going to look like when you pray this? If you want to pray this. Because I know people are not the same, and things happen in the kingdom when God's people are filled with his presence and act boldly in speaking truth and praying and trusting that God will do what only God can do in their lives. So as we did this last week, I want us to pray this prayer. But I'm not going to pray this prayer for you. This is what you're going to pray for yourself. Right? You are going to pray, God, make me bold. This is maybe your first act of boldness this morning, in the prayer that you're going to pray is, and you might be terrified at this idea, but you're going to pray this for yourself. Because in praying it for yourself, this is a desire that you have for yourself. And the desire is, God, I want your presence in my life to give me courage. And that courage is, I want to be bold for you in where you've placed me for the sake of your kingdom. I don't want to hide as a Christian anymore. I want people to know the hope I have in you. There are people that God has placed around you that don't know the love and power available in Jesus. And that's on you to show them. And so when you're praying this prayer, you're kind of coming out of the shadows. And you're going, God, make me bold. Use me for your kingdom. And so that's the prayer. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give us a couple minutes. And so you can bow your heads. And if you're not prepared to pray this yet, that's okay. Because you've seen what's potentially coming your way if you pray this. And that's why we wanted to make that explicitly clear, not hiding anything. But if you want to pray this, let's just, to respect everyone, let's bow our heads and let's do business with God. But I'm allowing you this time for you to pray. And then I will pray for us afterwards. But take a few moments and you pray this out personally to the Lord.